Very good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, September 5th, 2017. And this is Live Talk. I'm Blessing Zulu.
And I'm Gibbs Dube.
And tonight on Studio 7 Live Talk, we are going to talk about the nullification of the presidential election result in Kenya and what Zimbabwe can learn from this.
To join the discussion, phone us directly at this number, 001-202-619-2077, and we'll call you back.
And as usual, Live Talk goes out to Zimbabwe on our 909 medium wave frequency and on the 909 AM 6065 and 15460 kHz shortwave, Monday through Friday at 8 p.m.
On the internet, you can find us at www.voazimbabwe.com. www.voashona.com and www.voindebele.com.
Once again, thanks for joining us, and you are listening to Studio 7 Live Talk. And tonight on Live Talk, we are talking about the nullification of the presidential elections in Kenya and the possible takeaways for Zimbabwe.
In what many analysts are calling an historic ruling and a first in Africa, Kenya's Supreme Court nullified on Friday the re-election of a sitting president, that is Uhuru Kenyatta, ordering a new vote to be held within 60 days after finding that the balloting last month had been tainted by irregularities.
The election on August 8 was largely praised by the international observers, and Zimbabwe, of course, is also holding its elections next year in 2018. And for the first time, Zimbabwe is expected to use the same BVR machines that were used in Kenya. And Zimbabwe is no stranger to disputed elections, as the 90s, all elections in Zimbabwe have been disputed by the opposition, alleging that they would have been rigged by President Robert Mugabe. But of course, President Robert Mugabe has dismissed those allegations as lacking merit. Gibbs,
what do you think about this outcome in Kenya? And if you want to join the show right now, phone us directly at this number, 001-202-619-2077. The number once again, 001-202-619-2077. Yeah, wasn't Ruskuma Zulugandaba, Lamtas Kuma, Wesakale Kenya, Laposok Twe, Umtetondaba. Ikonokwa Puma e Kenya, Usenzo Keto, Akambang and Panelo, Nakosomelu Keto Lupindwe, Kunangalege e Kenya. So ke litinota balolu siyakhumbula ukuthi okade sibambile khona ngale Uhuru Kenyatta lokho esibambile sidukwini kodwa sokuthi hayi phela mongameli ukhanya ngazani wakwenzayo kakwenzwa ngemfanelo siyakwazi ukuthi MDC blessing yayizama la ukuthi hambise udabolo nje ecourt kodwa kuphumanga lutho kangako so iKenya singathi ngesikhiwa is the first of Africa to have this kind of thing.
Onguka hama wadewa nasi tila watinge tichitarisa nezwa ka buda musarudzo dheu Kenya nasi daripa msoro soro re Supreme Court rati aiwa raka itu kwa msarudzo azina kufambisikwa zwaka naka nekudaro sarudzo zinofanira kutangiswa akandike kutanga Gibbs munorondo ye Afrika sarudzo zichinzi azina kuitwa zwaka naka nekudaro ngazi tangiswe tutakunzi kwa kuti Zimbabwe ingadziza chii kubva pa nezwa ka itika ku Kenya titarisa kuti sarudzo zhinji zinoitika mu Zimbabwe inenge paine bata murefu bata mfupi inqaba ngozi tinoda kuzwa kuti imi munoti kudi makasununguka kuti munge muchitifonera tichitaura nyaya iyoyi zviri kuitika kuKenya uye kuti munoonawo sei nesarudzo dziri kuitwa muZimbabwe. Chimwe chiri kunyanyo bata vakawanda inyaya yekuti pari kushandiswa anonzi maBVR machines aya kuita sarudzo idzodzi vakawanda muZimbabwe vangafunga kuti zvikaitwa izvozvi hapana anobirira musarudzo asi zviri kubuda muKenya zviri kuratidza kuti panogoda kunge panoita mutauro zvakare. Of course I did an interview with the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission chairperson, Justice Rita Makarau, and she was saying, of course, Zimbabwe has a lot to learn from what happened in Kenya. And she said that what she hopes to achieve as the chair is to ensure that elections are free and fair. And, you know, the winner not disputed, becomes the next elected president of Zimbabwe. Whether that will happen or not,
something
we wait to see. Yes.
I think we've got a guest today, and that is Real English to Africa, Esther Githui. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Gibbs, for inviting me.
Thank you so much. And this outcome in Kenya, the first for Africa, right?
Yes, it is. It's a big story in Kenya, and it's a big lesson for Africa, because this was, I don't think it was foreseen. Nobody expected the outcome to look like this. Having President Uhuru Kenyatta declared the winner by the Electoral Commission with a 1.4 million lead, this was a shock. But again, it shows that the judicial system in Kenya is working, and it's doing its job. And we're going to wait and see what happens in the next 60 days when they go back to the polls. President Kenyatta was kind of calm and emotional, if you watched his address on television, telling Kenyans, well, I do not agree with the outcome of this Supreme Court decision, but I will respect it. And he asked Kenyans to be united. He said, peace, peace, peace. Mm-hmm. Your neighbor will still be your neighbor. So he will go back to the campaign trail again. It will be another grueling short time this time round. And we will watch and see what happens. Yes, on the other hand, we saw the NASA presidential candidate, who is also the leader of the opposition in Kenya, Mr. Raila Odinga, very jubilant. He raised his hands in the courtroom that was packed. He was celebrating. But again, analysts will tell you it's too early to celebrate, because we do not know what happens after the 60 days within which they're supposed to hold the next election. But it's still a win for him. He went to the court, and the court has made its ruling. Let Kenyans respect this ruling.
And there are so many parallels that we can draw from what is happening in Kenya and what's happening in Zimbabwe. For example, in 2008, there was supposed to be an election, a rerun or a runoff, when the Constitution of Zimbabwe says for you to be elected president, you must have 50 plus one. So all the candidates did not manage to reach that target of 50 plus one. Mm-hmm. So there was supposed to be a runoff, but because of the violence, they ended up cancelling the elections. The opposition leader, Morgan Tsvangirai, decided to pull out, alleging that his supporters were being killed. And we've been reading that in Kenya there's also been violence. Are you not afraid that we might witness more and more killings?
I don't think there will be violence. Mm-hmm. In fact, you can, if you remember the chaos of 2008, it was horrible. That is when there was a lot of killings, about 1,000 people killed and so many thousands displaced, some of them still displaced even today. But what we saw in this last election that was held on August 8th, that kind of created a little violence, I would say, compared to the chaos we saw. 28 people were killed. Yes, mm-hmm. A loss of life is a loss of life, and it's dear, and it shouldn't even happen because of politics. But it wasn't at the magnitude we saw in 2007, 2008 elections. Mm-hmm. So I would say this time around, Kenyans have come of age to know that politicians are politicians, and what happens between them as the common citizens of the country should not divide them. Because the problem with Kenya, and that's what we see every time there's an election, the ethnicity rears its ugly head in Kenya. People start looking at each other from what tribe are you from, what community are you from, and they will also vote alongside those lines. But there's a growing number of Kenyans who are looking at issues and not personalities or who belongs to their ethnic community. And that is coming out strongly. And I think Kenyans are going to make a lead, just as they did today legally, that the court can nullify this election. The president can say, well, I disagree with it, but I respect it, and I want peace in the country. Mr. Odinga saying, well, I have won. I would like the IEBC officials out. But I'm sure he's going to rally his supporters, and he's also going to speak peace to Kenyans. And I think that's a big, big plus for the East African nation.
And of course, you'll be shocked to learn that in 2000, the opposition party in Zimbabwe, the MDC, they went to court in 2000 challenging the outcome of the parliamentary elections. And in some cases, this is now 2017, no verdict has been delivered by
but you see, there's a bit of difference in Kenya right now. Since they went into the devolution where they have county governments, and I think even the judicial system is different because they are now vetted. Unlike before when we had a one-party rule where the president appoints the chief justice and every other judge in the Supreme Court and other courts. So that way you are likely to see the result will favor the incumbent or the president of the day. Even with the IEBC officials, they are vetted, just as we have here in the U.S. You hear they have to go to the nominated ones have to go to the Congress to go through the process. And if you don't qualify, you don't qualify. So I think the judicial system has changed. And that would be a big difference if it happens in Zimbabwe and other countries where you don't just put in your own person who will rule in your favor whether you're wrong or right. You know, we should have a judicial system that is independent. And that helps a lot to bring the country together and for people to even trust the justice system. I'm not saying Kenya is a very big example. We still have issues in Kenya. Corruption is a big problem and other issues. But I think for politics as we sit today, we have seen a big difference. And I think judicially, you can say the judicial system is taking a step and we're going to see the outcome. What happens after this, we don't know. But we do expect that there will be a clear winner and no issues arising from this. On the other hand, you had asked about chaos and expecting violence. I don't think that it will happen. What we did see today is a jubilation for supporters of Raila Odinga. And we did see a little bit of calm within the supporters of Uhuru who did not, you know, do anything. They were just quiet. I guess in shock or something, but we'll see. Overall, I think Kenyans have taken this in a different way. They're trying to let it sink and see what's next, and hopefully people will come out and vote and make this a clear choice that we won't have a dispute so the country can move on.
A very good lesson there you talked about the judiciary and the attempts to make it independent. Zimbabwe somehow is headed in the wrong direction. You know, the constitution in 2013 had put this provision that, you know, if you are to be the chief justice, for example, you had to be vetted by the Judiciary Service Commission. But now they are going back. You know, this is constitutional amendment number one. They are changing that now to say only the president appoints the chief justice. It's a problem, the lesson for Zimbabwe, I think, from what is happening in Kenya, Gibbs.
Yeah, ila muzo lafake u Esther Kitu. Ya kuluma siwe lukuti, okumele wenziwe siwe lika kule Afrika, ukuti kumele kube labantu wa mtito ndawa, abanga melanga abanya bantu. Ukuti nga ukuti umele Uhuru, kube umele Udinga. Mkunge wa hamba kuti. So uti hai, kumele judiciary siwe ikine nko. So now, Esther, we are coming to the point of the election results. For Kenyatta, it was 8 million. And then for Odinga, it was 6 million. The difference is only 1.4. And you talked about this tribal issue. And some people in Kenya were saying the tribal issue played a key role in terms of the final results. So is Mr. Kenyatta in danger now?
I don't think so. First of all, and I think that's a very good question, Gibbs, because people need to understand that Kenya has 40 ethnic communities. Remember that Uhuru Kenyatta comes from the Kikuyu community. That's the largest community in Kenya. But his deputy president, Mr. William Ruto, comes from the Kalenjin community. That's the community, the Nandis. It's also where the second president, Daniel Arap Moi, comes from. So you're looking at a president who is not only relying on his own community, the Kikuyus, to vote for him, but he also has the deputy president who has quite a large following within the Rift Valley region, as well as other places. In the case of Kenya, they say why Uhuru won, there's a place in the Rift Valley, the Kisii community. It was the swing vote. So there had to be some sort of swing vote. So it has nothing really to do with the tribe. However, it is true. The last election, they said it was the tyranny of numbers, meaning the Kikuyus had the numbers. They were the majority. And so they voted for their man, Uhuru Kenyatta. This time round, he was getting votes from different communities. But on the other hand, Raila Odinga, to his credit, he formed this coalition, the National Super Alliance Coalition, and he picked up other people from regional leaders like Kalonzo Musyoka, who once served as Kenya's vice president. And that's a different part of, you know, Kenya. He comes from the eastern part of Kenya. Raila comes from the western part of Kenya. He also had other leaders coming from the western part of Kenya, but they do not belong to his community. Mm-hmm. So that must have also helped him. Plus, he campaigned in the coast of Kenya. He also campaigned, I mean, almost everywhere in the country. Both of the candidates did a lot of work. I was in Kenya in July, and I was watching and following that, even though I was there on vacation. But I was following the developments, I was following the campaigns, and they both did a very good job. So I cannot tell you how these numbers came to be. The IEBC knows how these numbers came to be, but because there were discrepancies in the vote counting, there were some things that the judges found out did not go well. That is why the Supreme Court justice today said, it's null and void. Let's go back to the ballot box. Let's figure out who is the clear winner of Kenya.
And of course, interestingly, you were talking about the coalition. Opposition parties in Zimbabwe are also trying to do the same, come up with this coalition. And actually, Mr. Tsvangirai was also in Kenya talking to Odinga. He's very close to Odinga, by the way. They are also trying to see what they can learn from Kenya and implement it, because they are also trying to come up with this coalition to challenge President Robert Mugabe. And I think, Gibbs, we have another guest, Tawanda Chimini of the Election Resource Center. Tawanda, good evening.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm doing great. Tawanda, you were in Kenya, right, for the elections?
Yes, I was in Kenya for the elections.
What's your reaction to this news we are hearing?
You see, the preoccupation is to make reference to the Kenyan case, to what's currently obtaining in Zimbabwe. You are almost tempted to always draw inferences. But I think this is a landmark ruling that the Supreme Court of Kenya has given. I'm still trying to figure out if there's any election on the continent whose result has been overturned or at least nullified by a court. And this is quite commendable. I think it's a reflection on the strength of the institutions that Kenya has, the fact that the judiciary was able to quickly deal with the matter in record time and to actually pass a judgment. That is quite commendable. And the fact that we've also had the Electoral Commission of Kenya, the IEBC, coming out and saying that they accept the ruling is also commendable. And the fact that they are starting to prepare for a rerun of the election, I think these are it's shocking, but it's also very welcome given the challenges we faced with our elections on the continent. I think Africa has been looking for this kind of an opportunity where strong institutions begin to actually take a lead in supporting democratic processes, and we would expect to see this precedent replicate itself in countries that are looking at having elections from here going forward.
I would want to pick up on what your reporter talked about there, because, yes, there's a bigger question. Raila Odinga has also said today that he would like to have the IEBC officials prosecuted and jailed. Now, when I talked to an analyst today who knows about the legal issues regarding this case, there's no time within the 60 days that they have to go back to the polls to be able to elect, select or come up with another electoral commission. So we don't know what's going to happen with that, whether they have to go to court to get them out and what would happen. So perhaps it may stay that the IEBC officials will have to stay and work out a plan to make sure that this coming election will be free and fair, and there will be no loopholes and discrepancies.
I hope we are not headed for another disputed election.
Yes, kids. Now, looking at Kenya, you know, there was something big that happened before the election, you know, the death of Chris Msando. So, at the end of the day, there's this death plus allegations that the machines were doctored. So, can we say maybe the judges looked into that as well? To make that kind of
That did not come up in the ruling. We do not know, because some of the issues that they had to look into, first of all, they waited to see what both parties brought to the table. And they took some days to review the Raila Odinga side and the Kenyatta side, plus the IEBC, because even IEBC was under scrutiny. So they had to work on those three areas to be able to come up with a ruling today. That, as a reporter, I do not know that that was a matter that was to be discussed. However, However, it did come out very strongly during the elections. Everybody looking at it suspiciously, like a political, you know, death. But also, on the other hand, the police investigations have not really told us exactly what has happened. What we do remember being said by the police, you know, the police in Kenya, is that they were able to get CCTV footage showing when Chris Musando left his office, the IEBC office, around 10-something p.m., and how he was, where he went, and they said he had a man in his car and there was a woman, but they say at some point the CCTV cameras caught him without, they didn't see the man in the car, and later on when he was like towards 2 a.m., 3 a.m., then there was a different woman. So there's a lot of stuff that went into that case. What I can tell you, talking to our reporters in Nairobi and analysts, this is a mystery. No one really knows. As one analyst said, who knows? If it's political, it could be either side. If Chris Musando had some information on, about how the IEBC computer servers were to be operated, who knows who wanted to get that information? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, he was out on a Friday enjoying himself with some drinks with some friends. We don't really know. Remember that he was murdered, strangled, and there was a girl too, about a 21-year-old girl who was strangled with him. They were found in the same, thrown in the same forest. So this is a mystery that the authorities still need to come out clean and say who really murdered Chris Musando and why.
We have our first caller, Namkoma Lloyd. Magadi Mkoma Lloyd. Magadi. Aiwa tiripo taurisa Mkoma Lloyd asina zokunzwa itipe pfungwa dzenyu. Mkoma Lloyd chimbo famba mbichana pamuri line renyu harisina zonzika zvakanaka. Mkoma Lloyd, regai tinoedza kukufonera ine kuti foni nyaya isinyatsoita zvakanaka. But what Lloyd is saying is, you know, Zimbabwe's, especially the opposition, members of the opposition, they really don't like President Mbeki because they think he did not handle the Zimbabwe crisis well, leading to this government of national unity in 2009. So he's their favorite punching bag, he's their piñata. So they are saying that, you know, even on Facebook, that's what that section of the Zimbabwe society is saying, the opposition, that, you know, Mbeki was quick to say these elections were free and fair. So
Mbeki is not the only one. John Kerry, the former U.S. Secretary of State, said the same. Indeed, so many other international observers say the same. And you talked about the 50 plus 1. Kenya has the same constitution that says the president has to win 50 plus 1 vote. And this one was 1.4 million. It's way past the one vote. It's million. So you can imagine this is very different. But, yeah, I don't think Mbeki was alone in this. There were several very credible international observers who said the same.
Well, I remember that's in 2013. It was Obasanjo who came to Zimbabwe. 2008. He was the heading the AU mission. That's Olusegun Obasanjo, and he said he had never seen a perfect election, and the discrepancies were not large enough to affect the result. But that is when. You know, I think close to 500 people have been murdered in that election in Zimbabwe. So I think there is a complicated relationship between, you know, these observers and, you know, some people that they are quick to say this is free and fair, you know, when there are all these disputes.
Now, let's just read some messages on Facebook. Blessing VOA Studio 7. Don't forget to follow us on VOA Ndebele, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Shona. One of the messages is from Moken Tube. He says, the Kenyan judiciary proved to me that the so-called election observers are almost observing nothing. Then he puts that kiki, you know, the laughing on social media. And then, yeah. And then Peter Jack says, former South African leader Thabo Mbeki is now officially a part of any election rigging system in Africa. We should not be allowed to observe elections again. Then we've got T. Tsoba, who says, I wonder what Thabo Mbeki was doing in Kenya. This man is always doing the wrong things. Remember him, what he did in Zimbabwe? And then and then Mike Chauke says, Mr. Mugabe is not going to allow such things, if ever the judiciary says some of them. I guess we've got a second guest here, and that is Mr. Tingani Masugu. He's a journalist based in Kenya. Mr. Masugu, good evening, and welcome to the program.
Good evening, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Masugu.
Now, Mr. Masugu, of course, the same question that we asked our other guest, Mr. Chimini. What is your take on this ruling by the Supreme Court in Kenya?
Well, the Supreme Court in Kenya had a very interesting ruling in the sense that if you look at the petition, if you look at the ruling carefully, it's not about the outcome of the election in terms of who won it, how many like numbers did that person have, but it's about irregularities which came up about in the transmission of the election. Things were not done the right way. They were not done according to the electoral law, which the Kenyans were supposed to follow. That's very interesting because. That's why you see that most observers hate to say this election was free and fair, because they didn't base it on many other things, they based on part of the process before the results were announced.
But you know, again, if I may chime in here, when you talk about election observers, how much can they observe? You know, you have to ask yourself that question. Africa is crafty in a lot of ways. And you may see the process is good. And they may, you know, look into the electoral commissions and say this works fine. They see, you know, the tryouts and see, okay, they're working fine. But they may not know the nitty-gritty. I think they usually give an overall, you know, picture of what really happens. And I think in the case of Kenya, that's what they did. The IEBC looked very credible, and I'm not saying it wasn't credible, but we did see a few discrepancies here and there. Whether that was enough to say that Uhuru did not have a commanding lead on this, I don't know. But if there were discrepancies, and the Supreme Court says those are enough to say, you know what, it's null and void, then it's null and void, and let's go back and then clear out all these little discrepancies here and there and have a credible election that we can say this is the result and this is what it's going to be.
That takes us to Joseph Stalin. At one time he said that it's not the people who vote that count, it's the people who count the vote. I think we have a video of the Kenyan Supreme Court judge. Let's take a listen.
A declaration is hereby issued that the presidential election held on 8th August 2017 was not conducted in accordance with the Constitution and the applicable law, rendering the declared results invalid, null, and void.
That's, of course, the Supreme Court judge. What's his David?
Justice David Maraga.
Justice David Maraga. Thank you. Good that we have Esther. But let's go back to Tawanda. Now, Tawanda, Zimbabweans, are you still on the line, Tawanda? Oh, unfortunately. Yeah, I wanted to ask him, though, about the BVR that many Zimbabweans think is the magic bullet. It will end all rigging. But what's happening in Kenya is a bit different.
Definitely is very different. And when we look at some of these issues that that happened in Africa, you know, voting using machines and all these kind of observers that we have. Now, I was talking to a certain gentleman who is a member of parliament, and I asked him one simple thing that is in Zimbabwe. Do you have an email address? He said, I don't. Wow. So now, if let's say you take an observer of that nature and send to Kenya to go and observe elections, and yet you don't have even an email address,
yeah.
You know, let alone maybe knowing how these things operate. So what exactly are you observing? If let's say in Kenya there was this kind of fraudulent way of, you know, manipulating the machines.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why the judgment came as it is, right? Or maybe the other things.
I would not know. He was one of the observers in Kenya.
No. This guy is my friend.
He doesn't have an email.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're living in a digital world, so an email, I think, is the most basic thing you can have at this time in our life. So, you know, I know people on WhatsApp, you're on Instagram, you're on Snapchat, you're on all you're on Facebook and all that, the Twitters. So email is very, very basic. It's one of the very early on things on the digital platforms. So I would think, well, I don't think I would be having somebody like that come to observe the elections, because in the first place it just tells you they don't understand much about technology. But I'm not saying the BVI is bad. It depends on how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the case of Kenya. They did have a good system,
and
they proved that it could work. But see, the tallying of the votes had an issue.
Yeah.
What was on the crucial forms 34A and B is not exactly what the Raila camp got. And I think the judges have looked into that very, you know, closely. Also, a few weeks ago, there were some ballot boxes found in the Rift Valley, you know, in Kisii part of Kenya, that already had stuffed ballots. Where did these ballots come from? Why were they not counted? Why were they still somewhere long after the elections had been announced? So those are the things we are looking at. Maybe the BVR works, but then there must have been other discrepancies, and so those count in a case like this. This is a petition, and people want to have a clear leader in an election.
I think I'm being told that Tawanda is back. Tawanda?
Yes, hi.
Yes, we're talking about the BVR. Is it a magic bullet? It was used in Kenya and Zimbabwe is experimenting
in elections. When it comes to the issue of the biometric voter registration process, like with all registration processes, like with all election processes, in Kenya there were some concerns that were raised around the quality of the process. But largely speaking, the general observation was that it was generally an acceptable role that was taken on board by all the stakeholders, particularly the major contesting political parties. There were concerns raised. But of course, like I'm saying, it was largely seen to have been something that was acceptable. Now, the question around whether it's a silver bullet, I think at times we exaggerate the impact of use of technology in elections because we are coming from a very tainted background, especially in the case of Zimbabwe, where our voters' law has been problematic. But we should not exaggerate the influence of biometric registration in terms of improving the quality of our elections. Remember, biometric voter registration only deals with one aspect of the many aspects of the election process. And that must happen, which cumulatively must then be assessed to give a verdict on the quality of the elections. So getting a biometric voter registration will not address all the challenges we face in our elections in the context of Zimbabwe, because our elections are not just about the quality of the registration process or the quality of the roll itself. There are other factors that you need to consider. So I think it's a bit exaggerated to say that it's a silver bullet in the context of what we've got in Zimbabwe. And I would urge a lot of caution, especially when you then consider what is unfolding in Zimbabwe. There are still a lot of gaps relating to our elections. One gap relating to the legal framework of our elections, which remain unaligned with the Constitution. That is a fundamental flaw. And it's a recipe for a contested outcome. And if we had a judiciary similar to the Kenyan one, who knows, we could get our elections being annulled purely on the basis that the election law did not provide enough basis for a credible election process to be undertaken. So there are various things that we need to look at. But also coming to the question of Kenya, you also need to appreciate that one of the things that has come out of the ruling that has just been given is the fact that mere observation of elections is no longer adequate in terms of scrutinizing an election process to the extent of passing a very credible and objective judgment on that election. So you remember there were observers that were watching the process. And these observers were on the ground on polling day. And in all the countries on the continent, there is this huge appetite to say as long as you have observers watching the process, then you have confidence in the process. But when you look at the intricacies of the Kenyan elections, you find that part of the problem related to the results transmission, so the results management system was where the problem was. But the unfortunate bit is that the intricacies of managing results from the polling station, movement from the polling station to the constituency center, from the constituency center to the national center, these processes are very difficult to track, especially if you're also using technology. And the processes themselves become vulnerable on the basis of the individuals that are administering the processes. So these processes are the ones where you now find the huge vulnerability of our election process. And until and unless observation methodologies are reformed or adopted to exhaustively scrutinize in some of these intricacies, our judgment of elections will always remain vulnerable to misinterpretation. So you need to be, I think as a continent, we now need to be saying to ourselves, is the conventional way of observing elections still adequate, given the shift in the spaces where our elections have become vulnerable? And in the case of Zimbabwe, we run the risk of observers endorsing a process that is fundamentally flawed, especially if we are unable to then be able to watch the right spaces, document the right spaces, so that we create the adequate evidence to actually mount cases against the credibility of an election process.
Thank you, Tawanda. Mm-hmm. Please do stay on the line. Gibbs.
Yes,
kakhulu. Yeah, akusho ukuthi uthini wena ngwakho ngokhetho lolu lwenzi osokuthiwa aluzaluqhutshwe kuhle eKenya.
Lolu khetho vele kunangavele ndibukalele okokuthi kanjani, kanti vele yena uKenyatta sokuzuthiwa nguye owinileyo. Because mina ngangibona ama-supporters ka-Odinga ukuthi u-Odinga ube ne-support eningi kakhulu, kodwa ngaxakeka masokuphuma ama-results esithi uKenyatta nguye ongu-president. Leyo nto leyo yinto nami engayibona kakhulu ukuthi yinto yabarongo kakhulu, kanti ngitshayela ihlombe kakhulu i-Supreme Court yangikhona uma ungukuthi nayo ikubheke ngilehleli banzi kakhulu, kwabonakala ukuthi ama-elections ahambanga kahle. Leyo nto leyo yinto engibona mina ihambe kahle kakhulu, engithanda ukuthi kube laseZimbabwe yinto eyenzakala kakhulu. Umthetho ungasabi ukuqhuba into ngendlela yayo, ingasetshenziswa ngumuntu, umthetho uzisebenzise wona ngendlela eqondileyo, hayi ngoba besaba umuntu, basebenze ngendlela eyiyo. Kanti futhi enye into eyiyo engizoyisola kakhulu ngabantu abanjengabombeki bona ababethunyelwe i-African Union, abayibo bona abathi ukhetho luhambe kahle. Ungitshele kumanje, so ngoba yena ukhulume yena ngemva kokhetho, ukuphela kokhetho, ukhulume wathi ukhetho luqhutshwe kahle Kenya. Kodwa uma ngabe sokubhala lama-results okuthi ukhetho kaluhambanga kahle, uthini yona i-South Africa ikubeka iba kuphi? Iba lilizwe elinjani phezu kwelizwe elikhulu amazwe abe elibhekile okuthi kufanele lisize amanye amazwe, kodwa uma kungukuthi kube yibo abathi ukhetho luhambe kahle ngokuya kodwa ukhetho kubonakala ukuthi alikhutshwanga kahle? Unjele okokuthi sizobathemba kanjani? Uthi ukuthi la ngo-2008 bahleli bethe Zimbabwe ukhetho luhamba kahle, kodwa ukhetho lungahambi kahle. Kona kuyibabanyundezela kakhulu amanye amazwe.
Awuboni-ke sithole
into engibuhlungu kakhulu ngayo kakhulu ukuthi i-South Africa njengeizwe leZimbabwe kuba ngakuya ngami kuba babizi bezwe bezokhetho cause yibo abasinyundezelayo kakhulu.
Siyabonga kakhulu ke mnumzane.
Ngempela basingezela ngakho ukuthi nikudebisise kahle kakhulu lokhu kokuthi iSouth Africa izama ukulungisa izinto, yiyo emoshela amanye amazwe kakhulu ngokusupport
president. Isikhathi baba sithole isikhathi duba. Isikhathi duba baba. Siyabonga kakhulu sithole. Nessa story is very bitter. That's why it doesn't want to part with the
I'm learning Zimbabwean language.
Yeah, you see? So when somebody says you can retaliate, right?
Yes.
So Mr. Story was saying that he observed the Kenyan elections, yes, not from Kenya, but as a common citizen,
yes,
of Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
He says Odinga had a lot of supporters compared to Mr. Kenyatta.
Mm-hmm.
So he was surprised, shocked that Mr. Odinga lost.
Yeah.
So then he says, you know, back to Mr. Mbeki. Says Mr. Mbeki is always singing this song of free and fair, free and fair. He says, no, no, no. South Africa is embarrassed. Africa is embarrassed
about Mr. Thabo Mbeki. Mm-hmm. So he said he should stop that. And then he says Zimbabwe should do the same in terms of when elections are taken to court, you know, the court must rule accordingly. So he says we need to have fairness in terms of the courts. Like what you said,
an independent judicial system.
Precisely, yes.
And one of your reporters prior to the gentleman who was talking from South Africa talked about the constitution. Kenyans went back to talk to the, you know, the common Kenyan. And then they came back, you know, the legal, you know, the guys, the experts came up and drafted a new constitution, and it was taken. Remember, there was a constitutional referendum. They wanted to change the constitution that was there, that was left by the British when they left, when they were colonizing Kenya. And Kenyans needed a new constitution that suited their needs, and so they have a new constitution in place. And until you have a new constitution in place that is acceptable by the people of Zimbabwe, then you have a long way to go. So there has to be a constitution that works, and a constitution that is going to be respected, not any leader who comes in and decides, okay, I don't like this clause, I'm going to change this. So if you respect that, it becomes a document that is there to stay, to serve the people of the country. That helps a lot. And then again, if you have an independent judicial system that is respected, an independent electoral commission, then whether the observers come or not, we know that things will be working. And so this is a big, big example for, you know, for Africa.
Thank you so much. So before, maybe, yeah, I was thinking of going to Masuku, but...
Yeah, you can go to Masuku, then we can go to...
Yes. So, Mr. Masuku, when we look at the Kenyan scenario, and you are there in Kenya, do you think that the judiciary is independent?
Before I comment on that, I'll just like to just take you back with the reaction which was given by the two main political parties. You know, Kenyatta thought he's got it in the bag. Just to say, normally in any African country, if that happens and they are being told by the judiciary, if it ever happens, because it doesn't happen anyway, but if it happens like in Kenya, just look at how many leaders would have taken it the way Kenyatta has taken it. That's a great stride. I am disappointed, but I am abiding by the Supreme Court law. I respect it. Those are almost his words. I mean, I can imagine that happening in Zimbabwe. I mean, it will never happen. Really, it will never happen. I mean, we have seen that happening. And the independence of the judiciary, when the bill came, there were six judges sitting there. My thing was like, oh God, we're going to have a crisis here. We're going to have three of them saying this is like this, and this is this. Three agree with the judges, and three not agreeing, and then we have a deadlock. But I mean, we had four of them saying this thing should be null and void, and after that, I mean, you could see the reaction with the Kenyans. There was Jubilee supporters didn't go mad about it. They were quiet most of the judgment. And when judgment was done, it was after Kenyatta sort of addressed them that they started talking out. Not really saying we don't want to take this judgment, but yes, we accept the judgment. By the way, today Kenyatta was out there starting the campaign day one, campaigning for the 60 days which had to come, and he called on peace. I remember he said three times in his first speech, Amani, 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 meaning peace, peace, peace. So, I mean, with that, I think it really went well, and it gave Africa a way forward. It told other African countries, look, guys, a standing leader, I mean, who would accept that? You have won the parliament with majority. You have won the governors with the majority. You have the MCAs, the Senate. You have all those guys the majority. And then you are told it's only your part of the election which had irregularities. Having all that, in the process, remember, this was a process. The campaigning this time was very peaceful. I mean, it was peaceful. we didn't see a lot of people dying during the campaign because people are clashing. Well up to the voting day, we're out there, even the traditional places where people really fight each other. It was so minimal. It was there, but it was so minimal. I've been here for 6 years, and I've covered 2 Kenyan elections. I cannot compare the two. This was really good. I mean, this was really peaceful. No wonder why even I think the observers went for peace, for peaceful and fair, although they didn't include the transmission of the results. And the Supreme Court saying this is not free and fair, and also just allowing the other part of the election with the senators, the members of parliament, that shows a great deal of maturity within the judiciary, shows a great deal of maturity in the Kenyan community as well. I think that's what I would say.
Thank you.
And I think the judiciary was really fair.
Thank you very much, Masuku.
Yeah, Masuku is enjoying his nyamachoma there.
Yeah, you know, the speech was very emotional. If you look at President Kenyatta, he was very emotional about it. You could tell he was emotional about it. But I agree with the reporter. He says, yes. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, like he said before the election, he said, Kenya will still be Kenya. Whoever wins. Vote, follow your heart. Go and vote. And you know, your vote counts. And he so it's emotional that he didn't, it's in disbelief. I know it's a shock, but it's not easy. But you know what? Kenya remains with or without, you know, the politicians. And that's what all countries in Africa should look to. Countries remain, we as a people remain, and the country moves forward. And I think for me, as one born in Kenya, I would say Kenyans need to look beyond politics and say, you know what? Like he said, your neighbor is your neighbor tomorrow. Exactly. Wake up and say good morning, and how are you doing? Because the country needs to move forward. Those people, they have money. They will still go on with their lives. What about the common people? So I think that would be a big take for Zimbabwe.
Yeah, like what Masuku said, that in Zimbabwe, unless the hell freezes, it's not going to happen. Mkoma Simba?
Now we're going to independent electoral body, independent, independent, by the ruling party, because in the problems, plus, in Katarisa, African Union, especially when I'm Anda yano pindura ndiye kuti chiko. Apana anda yano kwa sababu pindura na kizagaita president kuma nzuru mparliament. Paga vuzwa nini yeye mu yuchraka denga yagaro wani mukanzo wa president. Apana anda yano kwa sababu kuburi sababu kuma hufuza party zemini kama wamulo. Mazoni.
Aiwa tunotenda zikuru mkoma simbane kupinda mchirongwa chedu.
Aiwa mazita yenyu kumajonga.
Tunotenda zikuru. Of course, what Simba is saying is that he wishes that the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission would also learn from what is happening in Kenya, and of course is lambasting former President Thabo Mbeki, of course, and but he's saying that you know, the problem is that people end up not believing in elections, which I think is a big problem. This would actually lead to conflict, because in some African countries, the elections are just a ritual. You know, the election is rigged. It's not an election, but it's kind of electoralism, whereby he's also accusing the African Union and the Southern African Development Community of supporting only the ruling parties. And even if people complain, nothing is done. The observers are quick to say, oh, it was free and fair. And then they go back to their countries. And people end up not believing in elections, and it leads to conflict. But he's saying what happened in Kenya is a lesson, you know, to all African countries, you know, that, and he's saying at least that's the light at the end of the tunnel, in that, you know, there are some countries where democracy is indeed being observed, unlike most African countries.
That's true. Ghana has done well, but I see it gives us somebody
else. Yes, caller, yes. Is this woman, Lumnumzano Andrew Zaba, Baba Zaba, kunjani?
Pila dinjani,
tu. Yes, pila kulupo. Uli kata anje, wezeti, uketi ze konapo ngo viskari sasambi.
Yebo, nyabo nga, ayi minabe niti nchari shombe, o loko seno, ayi koti ye Kenya, ngoba. Uchuti, kuba ngabe amaZimbabweni engafunda khona lapho kumbe ojaji balapha eZimbabwe bafunde from ojaji beKenya, comparing to ilokuzana iZimbabwe yelokuzeni beKenya, ngiwambheka mbone ngathi kuba nzima mbijani ukuthi kanti ama-judges eKenya kuyabonisa ukuthi ama-qualifications abo ba-appointwa ama-qualifications abo aba-appointwa ngupresident. Lapha ama-judges la appointwa ngu-president, so akula muntu oharela esayidini yomunye ihara ma uyiphethe kuwe iharela kuwe emazwaneni akho. So ojaji balapha bangeke beharele emazwaneni kabo, kunje konapho iharo iphethe angeke iharele emazwaneni ka-president. It's impossible. Mina bengithi kuba ngabe i-lesson abayifundayo abantu bakithi babone ukuthi iqiniso kalibe liqiniso, balibeke kunjalo, kuyabona ukuthi iKenya ile democracy. Uyabona,
hayi, sibonge kakhulu ke Enduzwane khona ngapho kule South Africa. So what he says, you know, he commends what the Kenyan judges did, and he says is because they are very learned people. You know, judges are supposed to be learned people, and they should not judge on political grounds, you know. And he says maybe Zimbabwean judges should learn also from what Kenyans did.
Well, it requires a judicial change of system.
That's right.
And the constitution as well, to put people that are credible in place. But, you know, I can't talk really about Zimbabwe, but I'm even wondering whether there's any competition in the coming elections in 2018. Is there any competition to the incumbent president to start with?
Yeah,
the problem is, you know, opposition itself is divided, you know, before you even talk about, but it's complicated because Mr. Mugabe is 93 years old. You know, even if you to elect him, you also have to talk about post-election. But there's infighting in his own party, because like today he was attacking one of his deputies and one many thought was going to be his successor. So there's infighting in ZANU-PF. You go to the opposition, it's the same, you know, so total chaos.
Well, with Kenya, they were able to have some sort of a coalition that took away the KANU, which was there during President Daniel Arap Moi's rule of 24 years. There was just one-party rule, basically, at some point, and then Kenyans agitated for multipartism. It was included in the constitution at the time, section clause 2A of the constitution, and then finally they came up, you know, they decided, let's put our differences together as the opposition and at least get in, and so they got him out. So, well, the opposition maybe need to up their game and say,
let's
there can be a fair competition. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with President Mugabe,
as long as people
but
vote for him,
let's have some you know, fierce competition.
Indeed.
And then we see that there are some judges who didn't, you know, go with whatever that kind of ruling. And one of them is Judge Ojuang, eh? Mm-hmm. I don't know what I pronounced it.
Yeah, you did it correct.
Here's what they say.
Njoki.
Here's what they say. Much of the evidence which the majority opinion adopts is largely uncertain, apart from standing in contradiction to substantial, more credible evidence. So meaning that maybe this was a political move, right?
In the Supreme Court ruling, I don't believe so. First of all, you have to remember that there's a point why they have an odd number of the judges at the Supreme Court, so that you end up, there were seven.
Yeah.
And so leave the Chief Justice out. It can't be 3-3. It has to be what is the majority going with. And so the judge will look at, the Chief Justice will look at that. Unfortunately, with the seven, the Supreme Court judges, one of them fell sick and is still hospitalized as we speak. And so they were left, six of them, and that's an even number.
Wow.
And that was a huge task for the Chief Justice. Well, he had to wait and see what do they come up with. If it is 50-50, then he was going to make his ruling in a way that I can't tell you in legal terms, but it turned out it was 4-2. And so whether they abstained and the others made a ruling, he went with a 4. And that is how the judicial system works. That's the constitutional way. He had to think about it and put his weight behind it and follow the law.
Obviously, somebody can get sick at any given time, right? Yes. But this sickness is not...
Well, you know, Kenyans will politicize that. Why did he fall sick 2 days after the petition? And so he's still in the hospital. There are a lot of questions, but I don't think we need to really politicize that. I believe the doctors know why they have kept him in the hospital until today. He's still there.
Yeah, tomorrow he will write, right?
Yes, but again, if you look at what happened, it was not an even number. It wasn't 3-3. It was 2-4. And so I think it's fair.
Yeah, it is. It is fair. I mean, like, in the U.S., you have 9 Supreme Court judges, right? Yes. It's the same. That,
exactly. It's an odd
and
number.
And you can't have all these judges saying the same thing. I mean, it's unheard of.
Yeah.
There has to be a dissenting voice.
That's right. Somebody has to say, no.
Somebody has
to say
something.
I don't agree with this.
Yeah. Somebody has to say something. And like I said, that's why they have the numbers set up that way. So that you have a clear majority, and if it doesn't happen, in the case it doesn't happen, it would have been 3-3 because one judge is sick.
Yeah.
But, well, I think it went 4-2, and that's a good number for the Chief Justice to work with.
Yeah, maybe Mr. Masuku can say something. So, Mr. Masuku, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, sir.
Now, we're talking about these judges. Some people are saying, no, you see, there's a judge that was in hospital, and some are saying maybe this was a political decision.
To be sick.
Yeah, so can you say something there? Because I can see on social media, people are talking about this thing a lot, you know?
Yeah, but it's interesting. I mean, whether Judge Mohammed was going to be in, it was really not going to make any difference. Because if he had chosen the defending voices, it was going to be 3-4 anyway. If he had gone the other way, still the judgment was still going to remain as it is. But I just wanted to say something about how this judgment was. Was it a political judgment or was it a judgment based on facts? There are two things which I see the judge could have done. This election was done. Servers were opened, the server where the results went. And remember, there were forms 34B and 34A, which were, they are already there, they are available. The judge could have said, let's count those votes and see one and put everything down there. But he didn't go with that. So two things I think happened here. It was also the spirit of the Constitution. I think there was some political, not on the point of politicians, but in the Supreme Court desk, they thought, look guys, how can we heal the nation? If we were to put those results out there and make people count, will this heal the nation? Or should we start something fresh so that the nation could be satisfied? I mean, I think they took that and said, let's give them the elections fresh and let people vote. And whoever wins takes it, and whoever loses goes out.
Thank you, Mr. Time is up. Sorry, Mr. Masuku.
Thank you so much, Dingani Masuku. Thank you so much, Esther. And also, we want to thank Tawanda Chimini. Thanks to our viewers, our listeners, those who send messages on Facebook and WhatsApp, and of course, our brilliant crew behind the scenes, our engineers and producer. Signing off and saying, have a blessed weekend. This is yours truly, Blessing Zulu.
And I'm Kip Stube saying, don't forget to go on Facebook, VOA Ndebele, VOA Shona, and VOA Studio 7. Bye-bye.